Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a tremendous day again today. It's nice again in Florida, but it's usually pretty nice down here, so it's exciting. But a lot of wild stuff going on right now. Saw the Supreme Court pick last night. Going to go into detail on some of that and what's going on and kind of let you guys know how we feel about that. But how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it, especially when it's a beautiful blue sky with no chemtrails and it's about 65 degrees outside with a light sea breeze. It can't get any better than this right now. Humidity is around 40%. So this is Florida as I knew as a child without this geoengineering at this point. So I hope it stays like this way, buddy.
Amen to that. Well, we saw as far as the Gorsuch got nominated for the Supreme Court pick last night, and you know, I've done a little bit of research on him. I'm not 100% sure about him yet as far as what he's going to do. I've seen some positive aspects of what he's done. The problem is I haven't seen him really strong on any arguments that he hasn't really been involved in any on significant pro-life arguments or firearm citizenry arguments. I've seen some that have kind of been negative in his favor, but also to a few things that he did with Hobby Lobby and also to the rights of children that are unborn and their mothers, but ruling on anything, I haven't seen a lot of that. Dad, what do you think about that after last night?
You know, Austin, I really don't know what this guy's going to do. And the thing about it is you're absolutely right. He hasn't done a lot of opinions on stuff. But see, a lot of times it's easier to get somebody approved who hasn't done a lot of opinions. And this is one of the little things a lot of the presidents do now, is they pick these people that haven't been vocal about certain beliefs. So I hope that Trump has spoken with him personally, finds out what his internal beliefs are. Because once that boy gets in the power, then he gets into the Supreme Court, there's no getting him out. He's done. You know, unless you try to impeach him, but you got to have a serious reason to impeach a Supreme Court justice. I'm not sure if that's ever even happened. I'm sure it probably has in the last 200 years, but I don't know about any incidences of that. So I don't know. So I just hope Trump's okay, and we'll see what's going to happen with this guy.
Yeah, that's the same thing I thought, because I did a lot of research on him. I actually looked into him, you know, last week a little bit when I heard some rumors about it. And then last night when I found that it was actually official, I looked up on it. And so, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. Let's just hope and pray that he does have some good, strong, biblical Christian roots and that he's going to do the best thing for the country, the constitutional rights of the Americans, and also, too, for the children. I don't know if we're going to be able to get Roe versus Wade, you know, pulled back, but at least if we could restrict a lot of this nonsense that we've seen with these abortion rights that have just exploded and a lot of other things that have happened. So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens with it, bud. So what's your first story for today?
Well, Ontario is actually pulling the plug on 36,000 rural smart meters, which is a huge, huge story that nobody's been covering. This is interesting. It's about the smart meters are the meters that are able to be controlled by the utilities, turned off, turned on, that put a tremendous amount of electromagnetic energy into the air. And so it's starting to be, the shift is starting to turn away from these things. They cause fires, they can cause health problems. And this is a company named Hydro One, and they finally admitted that rural smart meters do not work, and that they have decided to pull the plug on 36,000 of them to start. And they say that more and more utilities are beginning to do likewise. And so it's going to be pretty interesting because these smart meters are just not good and they're not healthy. If I had one on my house, I would actually go in and put some type of lead shielding around it that would block the Wi-Fi signal and prevent it from broadcasting throughout the entire house, because it will do that. The problem is when you're in a neighborhood and you have houses beside you, you can't block all the neighbors' houses if they're close to you with the meter. So I hope this goes away. And again, always make sure that you don't put a iPhone turned on in your pocket. Make sure it's turned off. Make sure that you're not holding one in your lap. I know a friend of mine, well, he's not a friend of mine, but I knew him from many, many years ago. He actually prophesized over us one time at his own TV talk show on Daystar, and he ended up dying of leg cancer. It actually metastasized to his leg and went everywhere throughout his body, and there is some indication that he may have been using a laptop computer or an iPad on his lap doing work on an ongoing basis, including hours every day. And guys, you've really got to stay away from that Wi-Fi radiation to the best of your ability. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. That's why it's always best to keep it at least a fair way away from your body. Obviously, if you're typing on it or using it, you can only be so far away from it. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people, they'll be at, you know, restaurants or they'll be at desk and they just have an iPad sitting right on their lap. Very bad for females with ovaries, also very bad for males for the testes, because you're just putting all that Wi-Fi radiation literally up to your body for hours and hours and hours on end. It's definitely not something that's healthy to do. Also, this is pretty wild. I don't know how far this is going to go, but it just shows you how the vaccines are, people are starting to wake up to the toxicity effects of vaccines. A Missouri House bill that was just introduced by Representative Lynn Morris, House Bill 331 in Missouri, would ban health clinics from administering any vaccines that contain mercury or any other metal into the vaccine for preservation purposes, contradicting approved federal policy. It states in the provision, beginning August 28, 2018, no vaccine containing mercury or other metal for preservation or other purposes shall be administered to a child or adult in a public health clinic in Missouri. Now, this begins, if this actually started to go through, it would begin the process of nullifying potential vaccine mandates, which generally have their basis in federal recommendations or guidelines from the CDC. Although these federal rules are not technically binding, they often influence policymakers and individuals at the local and state level to adopt coercive mandates regarding mercury-laced vaccines and other toxic substances. We've seen this before, how they literally, they know that there's all types of aluminum adjuvants, formaldehyde, mercury, polyasorbate 80, all types of toxins as preservatives in these vaccines, and they know that. The CDC knows that. They still allow them to be administered on a mass basis. So I doubt this will go anywhere in Missouri, but again, it's at least something we're seeing of people, their opinions being voiced and being heard by legislation. So I don't know if it'll go anywhere, but it's exciting to see at least something like this is starting to come up in some of the states. Hopefully we can get this to spread throughout the country and a lot of states start introducing these bills. Even if they don't get passed, it'll still show that at least these representatives are listening to the people, Deb.
Well, until you get rid of the liability, or until you reinstate liability exposure to these manufacturers that are producing these toxic chemicals and these vaccines, they're never going to change. They don't have to change because they make too much money doing what they do. And what they do is they put a little bit of the antigen or the virus into the solution, and then they add adjuvants to that. And what it does, it makes the infection site or the injection site, sometimes turns into the infection site, really swell up. And what it does, it creates a much more antibody resistance to that, which creates supposedly more antibodies being formed in the body against that particular antigen or that particular chemical or virus. Now, what's funny about this is that the only reason they're doing this is they're trying to not use as much of the actual antigen into the body because it costs more money to manufacture this stuff. So it has nothing to do with the fact that they're trying to make it safer or better. They're trying to make it less costly for them so they can produce it for a penny or 2 pennies or 3 pennies or a nickel a vial and sell it for 15 or 20 or 50 or 100 or $1,000, whatever they want to get for it. So it's all about the money. It's all about the profit motive again. And they don't think about the fact that when they add adjuvants to these injections, that it can cause all types of other problems occurring, including neurologically. Now, I say they don't think about that. I think that I say that with tongue in cheek. They don't think about it because they know it's already a fact, and they know that they're not liable for anything they do to anybody because the Vaccine Compensation Fund has paid out billions of dollars now in children that have been damaged by these vaccines, which is always the irony to me when people say, well, vaccines don't hurt anybody. My response is, well, why have billions of dollars been paid out in compensation to all the victims of vaccines? No one wants to walk through that from a logical standpoint. I've got a medical doctor of mine who's also a pilot. He's a really nice guy, and he's a cardiologist, and he believes in vaccinations. So he and I are always bantering back and forth on our texts, back and forth about what vaccinations are. And he feels as though that the actual reduction of these diseases like measles or chickenpox, etc., has been greatly enhanced because of the vaccines. But he doesn't realize, and I've tried to explain this to him, that these same reductions occurred all over the world, where they have clean toilet facilities and sanitary conditions. When you have a filthy, filthy environment, which you're taking and, you know, having poop run through the streets or whatever, like you have in some of these cities in Bangladesh and India and all these other places, it's just a breeding ground for all kinds of diseases. And so your immune system stays in a compromised position all of the time. So I told him, I said, well, the reality is the sanitary conditions have really helped get rid of these diseases. And plus, you know, a lot of the things that we do as far as with vitamin supplementation and vitamin D, et cetera, has also helped a lot. And in Europe, these same diseases disappeared without the use of mass vaccinations because the sanitary conditions improved. And then I said to him, I said, well, doesn't it make sense too, though, that Just maybe they need to go ahead and start producing. If you think that vaccines really do work, which they taught us in biochemistry they do work, and also in biochemical genetics they do work. And the concept is good. You take the dead virus and you inject it into the body in a clean solution, and the body produces antibodies against it, which allows the body to stay strong against that if it's exposed to it. That's the premise behind the vaccine. But the problem with that is that a lot of these different contaminants or viruses have been dormant now for decades. They're not around anymore. And what you do is you overstimulate your immune system when you do this with these antigens, when you put these dead viruses into your system. But that wasn't good enough for these folks from the vaccine companies, like I mentioned earlier. They had to add adjuvants to make them have a larger infection at the injection site to create more antibodies, which is what the purpose was going to be, instead of using more of the antigen. The problem is anytime you inject your body with that many different types of antigens or viruses, you overload the body's immune system. And the body's immune system is specifically designed to deal with that particular antigen or virus whenever it gets exposed to it. Not all at once. Not when you're not even a year old yet. Your body's not designed for that. And so what ends up happening is it creates this massive problem with these immunizations that you're giving to these kids in large dosing at a very, very young age. And so then my doctor friend finally said, well, you are right about the adjuvants and putting aluminum and mercury in there. That really needs to stop. And I said, I know it does. So until we can get a clean vaccine, quote unquote, clean that works, that's been clinically tested and shown not to cause damage to these children, and that has a really good efficacy, which means it works and it can ameliorate the symptoms of additional diseases as you get older. Okay, we don't have that. Or the elite may have that, but they're sure not giving it to us. So we need to be very, very careful when we start giving these things to our children. As for me and my house, we have decided we are not going to be giving these vaccines to our children. We're not going to do it. And that's why none of my kids, all four of them, have ever been vaccinated, except for Austin one time got a tetanus shot because it didn't have mercury in it, going to camp for church. And he got deathly ill from it. Now, guys, you know, that was one vaccine that Austin had when he's like 10, 12, 13 years old. That was it. The rest of the kids, I never made that mistake twice. So guys, it's one of those things that you gotta be really careful with your children. And until they're 18 years of old age, you've gotta make these choices for these kids. By the way, California is considering enacting a statewide sanctuary for immigrants. And yes, you heard that correct. Instead of sanctuary cities, it says California may prohibit law enforcement from cooperating with federal immigration authorities, creating a border-to-border sanctuary for illegals in the nation's largest state as legislative Democrats ramp up their efforts to battle President Donald Trump's migration policies. The legislation is scheduled for its first public hearing Tuesday as the Senate rushes to enact measures that Democratic lawmakers say would protect migrants from the crackdown that this Republican president has promised. While many of the California's largest cities, including Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Sacramento, already are sanctuary policies and sanctuary cities, then now they want to expand this statewide. Austin, what is wrong with these people in California?
It just doesn't stop. Every time I turn around, it's something else over there. I mean, these legislators, these guys over there, man, they are all about trying to make California one of the worst places in this country to live. And if we have California listeners, I love you guys. You're patriots. You're listening to us. You're awake. You're trying to figure it out. But I feel sorry for you at the same time that you have to deal with this mess over there. Because in my opinion, from what I've seen, especially over the last decade, with the massive, massive drop down on firearm rights, with everything else that's been going on that we mentioned almost on a weekly to monthly basis in California, it's very evident that the globalists are in full-blown panic mode on trying to get California to be the first state to break off from the country. They really are. You see all this stuff that's going on. They've been working on it for years. That is their first beta test to try and break off a big, giant chunk of the United States and put it under control of the Chinese and the UN. So seeing that they're doing this, they're literally just trying to spit in the face of almost every single American citizen along with the president and the entire administration. Because, guys, newsflash, why are you making an entire state a sanctuary state for people that aren't even supposed to be here legally? If you said, no, people that are on visas here, people that are legal immigrants that are working here, no, we're going to make sure we protect them, that their rights are protected. But the thing about it is, Donald Trump hasn't said one single thing about that whatsoever. He's talking about the individuals that are coming over here literally by the tens of thousands with no visas, no work permits, no green cards, no birth certificates, no driver's license, absolutely nothing coming into this country. And then as soon as they get here, they demand they get free subsidies from the United States, free health care, free food, free housing, free cars, free whatever, free transit, whatever you want to call it, everything. This is something that cannot go on, and California, being in the massive debt hole that it's in and how much money it takes from the federal government, I really don't even understand how they're planning on subsidizing this continual influx if they start projecting and broadcasting that they're a sanctuary state now, that massive amount of influx of illegal immigration that's going to go in their country is the exact same thing that we saw happen in Germany when Angela Merkel said, come on in, millions of Muslims, military-age men, come on in, you can come in, we'll give you free housing, free food, and you can rape our women at your convenience. If California starts doing this and broadcasting this now, that state is going to get overrun so fast, so aggressively, with illegals pouring in from the border in Mexico, it is going to be an absolute nightmare for anybody living in that state that's a law-abiding citizen, primarily also, too, now, because they can't even defend themselves with any legitimate weapons, since they can't even buy an AR-15 or any type of detachable magazine firearm now that can hold over 10 rounds in that state. So, yeah, it's a beta test, man. I think California is a giant globalist beta test, Dad.
Well, yes, and I don't doubt they're going to try to get cut off. I mean, I don't doubt they're going to get the 600,000 petition signers that they need to put it on for referendum to basically get out of the United States and bail out. And quite frankly, here's the problem I have with all of this. Number one, I love California. I love the fact of all the raw materials and resources it has there. I love the fact that, you know, Silicon Valley's there, which is pretty sick for a bunch of people there, by the way. We can go into detail on that. And Singularity University, which I don't care for either, another satanic group. And all of this stuff that's going on, I got all that, all right? But, you know, just to say we don't want to be part of this anymore doesn't make any sense to me. Now, from a constitutional right, remember the southern states, when they were put under seizure after the Civil War, and they basically had their little rights taken away, and they were basically occupied by the federal troops, and then they were asked, when they wanted to come back into the United States after they'd been beaten into submission, they had to sign that they would never, ever secede from the Union again, which is ridiculous. It goes against the original founders' constitutional rights of the states. So if California didn't sign that, and that they've actually petitioned to get this removed or reversed, if they wanted to step out of the federal government, you know, I don't really care, Austin. The problem is that there's too much involvement now with China, with California, with this massive border now on the east coast of California, which runs along these other states, which is going to have to be patrolled. It's going to be a giant nightmare for everybody. And quite frankly, now that we know that Soros is in the middle of this, the globalists are in the middle of this, and China's in the middle of all of this, we know that this is just not something that's going to be conducive for the betterment of the United States. But as far as these lesbians and Satanists and weirdos and all these nutbags that are out there protesting and doing all the things that they're doing, quite frankly, I wish somebody would just give them an island to go out on. Just pick some place to go, and they can live there and sodomize each other to death or whatever they want to do and be done with it. Because this is crazy that we have their values being forced down our throat by our doggone our big Hollywood studios and all the stuff that they believe and all the filth they put out. So, yes, I have mixed emotions about all of this stuff because I've been to California. It's one of the most wicked places on the planet, but it's also one of the most beautiful places in the United States. I mean, absolutely beautiful, that coastal highway. So it's part of the United States. It's been part of the United States, but it's gotten so liberal and so wicked and so satanic and so full of witchcraft and evil. Dog, I mean, it's one of those things. I don't want it to happen from a national sovereignty standpoint, letting China have a foothold to bring troops into California if they wanted to do it and be able to walk right across with any kind of resistance through the United States. So there's some serious problems with it, Austin, and some serious problems with them even being part of the United States. And again, this is why the Electoral College was put into place by our fathers, our founding fathers, because they're the ones who said, hey, wait a minute, we can't allow California and New York to determine who's going to be president. I mean, we can't allow that just because they have a bigger population density. The states all have to have equal rights, and that's what the Electoral College was all about. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I've had the exact same conversation before with multiple other people as far as it's very mixed emotions because you, on one aspect, yeah, if they really want to go and become their own country, well, they kind of had that constitutional right from the very beginning. But on the other hand, when you look at it, the entire motive isn't about being a sovereign country by themselves because they don't agree with some of the things we're doing. They want to do their own thing. It has nothing to do with that. It's the top legislature in California and a few of the idiot liberals at the bottom that are brainwashing everybody else into thinking that they want China to bankroll the secession and turn around and join the UN, which, by the way, the UN is right up there with one of the most satanic organizations in the world. That's what the globalists run. That's their baby right there. So knowing that it's going to that realm, if it goes that direction, you know it's not going to do anything but bring more negative consequences to this country, which is primarily why I've said I do not agree with it at all, and I do not want it to happen at all, because it's not going to do anything positive for this country. Also, too, in other news, this is quite strange over in the UK now, as we see this political correctness get more out of control by the day with these people that are just so bizarre to me. Now we have an even stranger turn of events from the British Medical Association, the BMA, in UK, the BMA, the British Medical Association, that are now saying they gave new official guidelines now, urging doctors to refer to expectant mothers as pregnant people and not use the word he or she. This isn't some liberal Washington Post author that's writing some ridiculous article that nobody even cares about. This is the BMA stating now in a 14-page book focusing on inclusive language in the workplace at hospitals. The booklet says that terms like biological male and biological female are problematic. Doctors are now instructed to say that individual was assigned male or female at birth. Yes, I said that. It's to say it was assigned male or female at birth. Despite the rarity of a transgender pregnancy, only one that they've ever even had occur in the UK. One transgender pregnancy. One. The British Medical Association is demanding doctors drop the word mother entirely from their vocabulary now. And I quote, a large majority of people that have become pregnant or have given birth identify as women. However, there are some intersex men or transgender men who could possibly get pregnant, the book continues. We can include intersex men and transgender men who may get pregnant by saying pregnant people instead of expectant mothers. Members are also advised not to use male-centric language. This pertains to several terms, including family name opposed to surname. Words like manpower and mankind are also on the chopping block. The BMA wants them replaced by humanity and personnel. The BMA also states that the term Christian name be banished from the vocabularies and directly warns against using the word black. Yes, the word black, like he's wearing a black shirt. No, you can't say that's racist. You're calling his shirt racist, but he's wearing a black, it's a color, his black shirt. No, that's racist. You can't say that either. Well, his Christian name's John as well. No, you can't say that. Can't say Christian name. He can't say he's a man. Can't say that either. What in the world is going on, guys? This isn't some hack job Washington Post liberal writing this. This is the BMA now releasing a booklet on vocabulary in the workplace at hospitals. Can it get any more out of control? I don't know, Dad, but this is what we see. Every time this starts in Europe, over in Europe, it always festers its way over into the United States. So this is something that everybody has to start waking up and realizing nobody cares about your feelings if you get offended by somebody calling you a he or a she when you're a male or a female. Those are the words you use. Nobody cares how you feel if you get offended by that. I'm sorry. I don't care. Dad doesn't care. Nobody that I know cares. The only people that care are the absolute weirdo liberal far leftists that are bent on trying to make everybody so politically correct that free speech will be abolished at the point of saying anything they don't agree with. Oh, no, you can't say that. That's politically incorrect. Can't do that. That's what the entire goal is completely eliminate free speech, Dad.
Wow, I couldn't have said that any better. I remember about a year ago, we did that whole thing out of England in which they had all these different names for transsexuals, transgenders, yep. and they had like 30 or 40 different terms they're using now for humans to try to classify them into their subcategories. And I remember Trump was talking just a few months ago, and I mentioned this then, I'm going to say it again, and he was talking, and I watched him at one of his rallies before the election, or maybe, no, it was after the election, it was one of his thank you rallies, and he was talking about whether you're male or female or whatever the H-E double sticks you are. I mean, now he's to that point now. So he didn't know how to address all these people because all of the subcategories, because of how they identify themselves. And we see this over and over and over again. I remember I've told you guys a story. I'm going to tell it again because we're talking about England again. Years ago, we checked into we flew overnight, got there early. I was catching a flight to Stuttgart, and I had like an hour layover or whatever. And I went in to get some breakfast in the airport lounge because they were giving us free breakfast, and I asked the lady if they have any more bottled water, and she looked at me kind of funny, and I asked her like three or four times very slowly because I realized that I have a, you know, southern accent a little bit, and kind of mixed with the German accent, kind of mixed with who knows what. And she finally said, yes, I get you some water. Then I said to her, I said, well, do you speak English? I was just being kind. Because when you're in Europe, you can't assume that somebody speaks English. You cannot assume that.
No.
Cannot. Because a lot of people there don't speak English. And so when you run around asking people they speak English, it's kind of silly, to be honest with you, especially even when you're in England or London now. And so then she said, yes, I'll get you some water. I thought, I wonder why I had to ask her so many times. Well, then I grab a plate of food, and I grab a bottle of water. I'm going to my table, and this guy stands up, and you tell he's drunk. He's England, an Englishman waiting for another flight. Been probably drinking all night or whatever he'd been doing. I don't know what he was doing, where he was going. And he gets up with an English accent. He goes, you're very rude. And I said, I'm very rude. I said, what did I do to you? And he goes, you ask her if she spoke English. And I said to him, I said, what did you want me to ask her? I asked her four different times if she had water. I was trying to ask it in German. I was trying to ask it in English. I was trying to ask it in Spanish, you know, with agua, with vasa. I said, what do you want me to say when they don't respond? Because you Americans, you're all like this. You're all just so rude, blah, 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 blah. And then he stands up and gets in my face. And I looked at him and I said, dude, you need to sit down. I said, if we weren't in the UK right now at a foreign airport, you'd be in trouble with me right now. I said, you don't get in my face and start fussing at me. I said, your body is writing paychecks. Your mouth is writing paychecks. Your body can't cash. And I said, I'm not going to put up with your mouth. I said, I'm not going to do it. So you need to sit down and get away and leave me alone. And he turned around and sat back down. I thought to myself, this is great. And he wasn't a little guy. He's as big as me. Probably he's much heavier than me because he was, you know, he's kind of overweight. And I thought to myself, this is just absolutely nuts that this is so politically correct. You can't ask them if they speak English. I wasn't even doing it. I didn't ask her if she was a male or a female. I asked her, do you speak English? And it wasn't politically correct. That's the extent that England's turned into. It's a nightmare over there right now. It's a mess. That's why they're trying to get out of the EU, because England now, when you go to London, you find very few people in downtown London who even speak English. It's almost all Muslim. And they've been besieged. They've been taken over. And they know that. The people who live there, that's why so many people have moved out of the cities. And plus, there's so many guys now in England that are just gays. They're just queers. And quite frankly, it's kind of sad because you don't realize that these guys are the same guys that have fought beside us on the beaches at Normandy. And this whole political correct nonsense in England has gone completely nuts. And England, before it's over with, is going to be another lost continent. That's why I guess they voted for Brexit to get out. Because they want to stop it before they lose their own culture and their own heritage, Austin. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what's going on. And this is another article I wanted to bring up. I actually had it yesterday, but I wanted to go ahead and touch base on it today. And I will do my best to make sure that everybody understands what I'm saying in here very clearly, because this is an epidemic that's growing worse and worse. I noticed it last week when I went out with Lana. We went out to actually go have dinner at a restaurant in Lakeland we haven't ever been to before. It was real nice. It was kind of a hole-in-the-wall place. It was real clean food. Tried to use a lot of organic stuff, real nice, and ended up having filet, which was real good. Anyways, I noticed, though, when we went out, we walked around downtown Lakeland Park and just got out for the night. His Hunter's grandparents on her side watched Hunter, so we had the night off, and I noticed we were walking around. And every time I would go somewhere, I noticed like probably 70 to 80% of the people that I came encounter with while we were walking around, they were either sitting outside or on a bench or other place. Everybody's getting progressively heavier. And I'm not talking about being 10, 15 pounds, having a little bit of a belly, being a little thick. I mean, we've all been there. I've been there before even too when I've been bulking, training hard. I'm talking about people that are starting to getting like significantly morbid obese. And what's interesting now is BuzzFeed Lightspeed, which is an extremely liberal entertainment company, is they love to promote feel-good stories. I notice more and more now in movies and television and advertisements and commercials, they're trying to promote this, it's okay if you're really, really obese. It's healthy to be that. It's actually sexy and fun. That's what they're promoting now. Well, now BuzzFeed just released a story this week on how the average American woman is the sexiest between sizes 16 and 20. A recent study revealed that the average American woman wears a size 16 to 18, and we want to celebrate that, they stated. Now, the problem that I have with all this is that it goes on, even the CDC states that roughly 40% of all women now in the U.S. are clinically obese, and 35% of all men in the United States are obese. Obesity is becoming a serious problem in this country, and the mainstream media is intentionally trying to incite this and make it worse. Make people think it's okay to be 150, 200 pounds overweight. If you're 350, 400 pounds and you're 5'5", that's okay. You're okay to be like that. It's healthy to be like that. You have to remember, the mainstream media is funded by the pharmaceutical companies. The pharmaceutical companies make billions of dollars a year off all types of different medications, including diabetic medications and all types of other diabetic issues. When you're heavily overweight, you massively increase the risk of diabetes. Now, stating in here from the CDC, 30% of overweight people are currently living with diabetes, and 85% of type 2 diabetics are overweight or obese. 85% of type 2 diabetics are overweight or obese. Some studies have indicated that being slightly overweight increases your risk of diabetes 5 times. So that right there proves my point. But now it's interesting, and to the Lane Bryant website, when it starts discussing sizes. Now, this is what they're saying here. BuzzFeed's saying basically if you're between 16 to 20 on your size and what you wear, that's normal. That's a healthy, good size for an American female. According to Lane Bryant website, a size 18 equates to a 38 to 39 inch waist circumference in women. Such large waist measurements are also considered massively high risk factors for diabetes, hypertension, and cardiovascular disease. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is not to pick on anybody. It's to try and shine a light on the people that are getting to the fact where they think it's okay to stay 200 pounds overweight and your health is not going to be affected by it. I had a phone call the other day of somebody asking me what they could do to lose weight. And they're around 320, they're around 5'6", 5'7", and they wanted to lose some weight, and they thought that, you know, getting down to a healthy normal weight of around 260 to 270 was a good size for them. And I told them, I said, well, what do you think is going to happen when you get to that size? Do you think your risk of all these different health issues that we discussed on the phone are just going to disappear? I said, a really healthy weight, an average healthy weight that you need to be at would be somewhere around 150 to 170, depending on your bone density, and there are a few other factors, but somewhere in that general area. And they were pretty much got mad at me. They said, oh, no, that's not, I'm not going down that light. That's too light for me. I said, okay, so if you think 270 pounds at 5'5" is a healthy weight for you, then, well, that's your choice. And they continued to get belligerent, argue with me. They didn't end up buying anything. But here's the thing, guys. I'm not going to lie to you on the phone. If you tell me that that's what your goal weight is, that's fine. We can get down to that weight, but understand that that's still not a healthy average weight for you to be at. But the mainstream media is intentionally trying to portray this to everybody into thinking eating Twinkies, Ding Dongs, cupcakes, sodas, cake, and donuts all day long is a healthy lifestyle, and being 150 to 200 pounds overweight is the normal average size now, and it is not. There are so many different things you can do with diet, exercise, and supplements to get your body weight under a normal weight and into a healthy average weight, not what they're saying here. And the biggest thing about it is portion control. You don't need to be going out and eating 700, 800, 900, 1,000 plus calories per meal 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. To maintain 320 pounds, you have to eat an extremely large amount of calories every day to maintain that weight. Going down to 300 to 400 calorie meals 5 to 6 times a day at that weight, you will literally hemorrhage body fat. It will fall off you faster than anything you've ever seen before, bringing your calories to that level. And that's a very, very healthy range to be in. So I just want to kind of bring that up because I've seen this now in the media and advertisements and television shows that they're really, really, really trying to portray now that the average person being 100, 150 pounds plus overweight is a normal, healthy size to be at. And I just had to bring that up today, Dad, and really kind of address that in detail.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Whenever I've been in Europe and I see a tour group, I can always tell they're Americans because of their size.
Yep.
And you say, well, is that true? Yeah, that is true. And you walk up to them, and they're like all 40, 50, 100 pounds, 150 pounds overweight. The Bible says, don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple and his spirit lives within you? And if you destroy God's temple, he will destroy you. Now, he doesn't mean figuratively coming in there and just, you know, and starting to, you know, squash you like a bug. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is that you'll fall back into the natural laws of God that basically destroy people that are not taking care of their temple. In other words, in the Old Testament, it talked very clearly about not eating pork, not eating shellfish. And we know from the World Health Organization that now pork is one of the primary causes of cancer globally. We know that being overweight is one of the primary causes of diabetes, of heart disease, of amputations, of all kinds of different diseases, including, you know, inflammation diseases and, you know, arthritis diseases. I remember we had a chiropractor who was a great chiropractor here in Winter Haven years ago, and he probably weighed 500 pounds, and he simply couldn't work after the age of 50 because he couldn't walk anymore because his weight and his joints had given out on him. And he used to sit down and eat two large pizzas with, like, you know, a gallon of soda every lunch. I mean, every day. I mean, tens of thousands of calories a day to maintain that massive amount of weight. See, guys, this is not of God. You have to ask yourself a question. God cares so much about you, and he's so in love with you as his creation, that he gave you an owner's manual in the Old Testament as far as the Torah in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy to what you should and shouldn't do. He tells you not to eat pork. He tells you not to do this, not to do that. He tells you if you're going to use the bathroom and you're in the city, there's no toilet basically back then, to take it outside and bury it and not leave it so everybody's going to step in it and have to deal with, you know, feces and passing all this disease stuff around. I mean, he gave you a detailed instruction manual in the Old Testament about how to stay healthy. Now, he said if you don't do it, then this is what's going to happen to you. And he tells you all of the diseases that are going to come upon you. And then he tells you how you're going to be blessed if you do do it. And it's all these different laws that he gave us and reasonable restrictions that he gave us in the Old Testament, which he cared enough about us to sit down and do all of this stuff apparently with Moses. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's up to us to do what we need to do. And then he even says, you have to choose life. You have to choose death. You have to choose what you want to do. I can't make you do it. But I suggest basically that you choose life. Then he tells everybody to choose life. Now, it's crazy how human beings are like that. If you know that you're addicted to certain food that has high fructose corn syrup in it, and you know you're eating it and you become incredibly hungry and you can't get full when you start eating this product, you need to know that that was done on purpose by using the high fructose corn syrup. The manufacturers, who are also now being controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalists who run the planet with their money and their fiat currency and their Babylonian money magic, they want you to be overweight. They want you to be obese because they want you to eat more calories. You'll buy more of their junk. That's number one. Number two, then when you eat their stuff, you get more of their junk. Then you become diabetic. Now they get to put you on all these different drugs like metformin, which we know basically causes cancer and also causes, you know, pancreatic cancer. We know it does that. And then they want you to have your cholesterol run through the roof so they can get you on the statin drugs. And then they want you to be so depressed from all of that that you've got to go on Prozac or some type of antidepressant. And then they want you to be so depressed because you no longer can have sex. You have no libido anymore because now you're overweight. They want you to buy Viagra. And then because you're having problems with your joints, they now want you to go in and have joint replacement surgery. And now because your arteries are plugged up, they want you to have a heart bypass surgery. And now because, you get my point? Does anybody get my point? It's all feeding the medical industrial food complex that's owned by the international banking cartels that hate you. They hate God. They love Lucifer. They consider you to be animals. They don't consider you to be humans. They consider themselves to be a different species because they consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen. They consider you guys to be just, they call it, I believe the word they use is goyim. They don't want you guys to think that you're anything besides an animal or a cow or a cattle. And they use you as food for the slaughter. And they basically take you and fatten you up with swine fattening feed, which is what their food is. It's almost all carbohydrates with sugar and high fructose corn syrup. And then they get to kill you. And then on top of everything else, they get to treat you while you're dying. And they get to make more money on that. It's become a complex in which they don't care about your health. They only care about profit. That's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. the love of money, not money itself, the love. That's why you can't be greedy. These guys are greedy. Their fiduciary responsibility is to make as much money for their stockholders as possible, and that by doing, getting you on all the drugs they possibly can, they make more and more and more profits. By getting you to gorge yourself on pizza every night, they make more and more profits. By getting you to gorge yourself on sodas every night, they make more and more profits. By getting you to come down with diabetes, they make more and more profits. By making you come down with cancer, which is a huge industry, they make more profits. Guys, you've got to understand, you're being used as cattle. That's what they see you as. They consider themselves to be a different species. They're connected with the interdimensional entities, the demons, these aliens, whatever you want to call it. They want to tie you into a D-Wave computer and chip you and basically control your emotions and be able to control you completely. And now Donald Trump has thrown a big squash on that. They don't know what to do. See, guys, it's so important that you realize that if you start gaining weight, if you're 20 pounds overweight or 30 pounds overweight, it's a lot easier to get that back into control than when you're 300 pounds or 400 pounds overweight. It's a lot easier to get on those scales every single morning, and if you're up a pound or two, go, whoops, I'm up a pound or two, I got to cut back a little bit on my diet today. That's what I do every single day, 7 days a week. And 6 days a week when I work out, I log my weight in on my journal every single time, 6 days a week, because I know that if I don't do that, I have a tendency, because I'm pretty big boned, and my relatives are pretty big, that I'll get big. In fact, I'd let myself balloon up to 220 a few years ago, and I thought, this is not going to happen. So I'm down around 195 now, and I probably am about 6 pounds overweight. But that's okay. I don't care about the 6 pounds. I'm working on getting that down because we have a new book cover we have coming out. I got to take photographs on February the 17th of this month, in about 2.5 weeks. So I'll probably be down to 190, 190, 192, hopefully 189, you know, for the book covers. But guys, listen to me. It's 6 pounds. It's not like the world's coming to an end if I don't lose the 6 pounds. It's just that I had my blood pressure tested again this morning. I went and had chelation, intravenous chelation done again this morning. And my blood pressure was 110 over 58. I mean, it was 110 over 68. It was something like that. It was incredible for the age of 61. I take no prescription drugs. Why? Because I asked myself that question a long time ago. How well are you going to take care of your body? So you have to ask yourself this. If you don't take care of your body, who's supposed to do it? We're in this skin suit while we're here. We're a spiritual being experiencing a physical existence. It's very difficult for a Christian to be a good witness if that Christian is sick all the time. Now, if you're 10, 15, 20 pounds overweight, whatever, even 30 or 40 pounds overweight, just watch your weight and don't allow yourself just continue to go up and up and up. And do your best to be an example for other Christians. If you're taking all these different types of prescription drugs, guys, think about that for a second. How in the world, and I'm going to say this very clearly, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I will say it this way. It's a lot easier for a healthy, in-shape Christian to win an unbeliever to Christ than a Christian who's sick as a dog, complains about being sick all the time, always in the hospital, always in bed, always feels horrible, and then talks about what the love of God has done for them. Guys, it doesn't work that way. You've got to realize God gave you an owner's manual, and there's things that you can do from a natural standpoint. I mean, it's like pastors who get into the pulpit. I understand that people have problems with moods every once in a while. That's why I take 5-HTP and take cod liver oil and B-complex every day. I've got a friend of mine who's a pastor, and I got another friend who's got a pastor who now has left the pulpit, and another friend who has a pastor, and they were all suffering with depression. And the bulk of these pastors end up taking psychiatric drugs for their depression. Now think about that for a second. Here we have a man of God who's supposed to be teaching you how to live a healthy life, teaching you how to live a godly life, and that man of God is on drugs because they're so depressed because they don't like their life or whatever. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me, Austin. We have to realize as Christians, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad with it because I'm infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yahweh, Yeshua, have come inside of me through the Holy Spirit and has created a resonance frequency inside of me of that which is the same as the creator of the universe. What in the world do I have to be negative about? Because God is with me. He is in me. He is through me. And with God and me plus one plus two, it's a majority no matter what happens around you. Guys, listen to me. I understand if you get down a little bit. I understand if you need a little pep-me-up every once in a while, you have to take a purple sticker, a cup of coffee upon occasion. But guys, don't get into the habit of self-medicating with alcohol or self-medicating with cigarettes or self-medicating, you know, with recreational drugs. Don't do that. And try to do your best to stay with these prescription drugs, which in some cases have mortality rates much greater than the illegal drugs. So guys, please, Learn to eat clean. Learn to do what's right in God's eyes. And always remember this. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's so important because when we become a believer and we become in covenant with God Almighty and God basically connects us through the Holy Spirit to His throne room, to the Holy of Holies, and we have the power of God surging through us and the authority that God has given us. Guys, you don't have to give in to a pork sandwich. You don't have to give in to high fructose corn syrup. You can say, get thee behind me, Satan. Now here's why I'm saying this. Ask yourself a question. If God wants you healthy, and these Sabbatean Kabbalists are doing everything against God's order and His will, that means they want you sick. I'm going to repeat that. Satan comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy, and to make you sick, to make you obese, to put you on drugs, all of the things that he does on a regular basis. This is what he does. Everything's upside down. What'll be up will be down. What'll be good will be bad. That's what he wants. So he wants you to stay sick because it brings honor and glory to Lucifer. He wants you to eat the foods that you know that are going to make you sick because Lucifer loves it. I mean, God himself, through Christ, when the demons asked to come out of the one man who was, you know, on the other side of the ocean, I forgot who it was, the name of the guy. I'm not sure if his name was given. The demons themselves asked to go into the swine. Why is that? Clean attracts clean, unclean attracts unclean. They said, don't cast us into the abyss, cast us into the swine instead. Guys, they didn't ask to go into the sheep or the lambs or the cows, the things that are clean. They wanted to go into the unclean meat. Every time you look at this, you say, well, you're making it a spiritual thing about how you eat. It is a spiritual thing about how you eat if it's affecting your health. Because guys, listen to me. God wants you to be able to bring honor and glory to Him in all the things that you do. And that includes your diet and your health and everything. I mean, we all know somebody, when you ask them a question of how they're doing, you get a 40-minute organ recital on how bad their life is and how sick they are. They're the kind of person that brightens up a room by leaving it, if you know what I mean. And guys, listen to me for a second. That's not what we're called to. It's that this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. So guys, it's not about food. You can't use food to trigger a dopamine reaction in your brain to get yourself up, up, up. If you do that, you're gonna go up, 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 all right, up and up on the scales until you end up with diabetes, which is gonna cause you to become blind. In a lot of cases, leading cause of blindness is diabetes because of diabetic retinopathy. It's gonna cause you to have bad circulation, which is now causing diabetes it's the leading cause of amputations. I mean, all of this stuff happens because of the weight and because of the diabetes and the food that you eat. My mom was in a nursing home for six years before she passed on to be with the Lord. And I remember one day I'm sitting outside and I'm talking to her. Some guy rolls out in a wheelchair. He's about 38 years old. And he was sitting there and one of his legs was gone. I mean, it was cut off like, you know, mid-thigh. And I said to him, I said, you know, dude, what happened to you? He goes, well, I came down with diabetes. I got adult onset diabetes and I started having problems and I ended up with gangrene in my feet and they had to take my leg off. And I said, dude, how old are you? He said, I'm 38. You know, I said, how long have you had diabetes? He goes, like 3 years. He said, I cannot believe this has happened to me. Guys, that is not the time to be wondering what just happened to you. Okay? You gotta start doing something before that happens. And I'm not trying to make light of this guy because I never saw him again and I prayed that he was able to get a prosthetic device and a limb and he's able to walk again and everything else. But guys, he was a good 100 pounds overweight. It's not conducive to your health if you're overweight. I work on this all the time. Because I'm genetically predisposed to get big. I'm not going to allow it to happen. Because remember, you can control the genetics. 70-80% of what you become is your environment and what you choose to do with it, not from what your DNA says. It's called epigenetics. There's a whole field of science in that right now. Learn to control it and realize it's just not something that has to happen to you. It just doesn't have to happen to you. Not unless you absolutely insist on it by doing everything that you know that you shouldn't do. And that's what we're here for at Health Masters. And guys, I want to thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for allowing this radio show to continue and for us to give you the good news of God and the power of Yeshua and Yahweh and how you can change your life by becoming a born-again Christian, by having spirit, soul, and body, and you can be healthy while you're here on this planet and have tremendous energy and tremendous output. I'm 61 by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. I don't take any prescription drugs whatsoever. I occasionally may take an aspirin or an ibuprofen, which is very, very rare because I know what they do. But guys, you don't need that stuff. In most cases, you simply don't need it. Now, if you have to use it temporarily for something, that's one thing. But don't get into a situation where you think that every day you've got to get up and take pills and drugs. If that's your life right now, you might want to reconsider reevaluating what you're doing and what caused you to get to this point. Because think about this. If you change your diet, your blood sugar gets normal again, Doesn't it make sense? Had you been on the right diet to begin with, you never would have had a problem with elevated blood sugar. You never would have had a problem with elevated high blood pressure, with high blood pressure. Then you never would have had a problem with diabetes or cancer. We know that prevention is the key for all of these things, and that's the thing we're talking about on the show on an ongoing basis. This has been my little pep talk for all of you guys, because quite frankly, I need it too. I need these pep talks for myself, because I need to realize that I too am an example. I mean, if I got on TV and you saw me on Skype and I was on a platform speaking with you guys, and you came to a seminar that I was speaking for, and I waddled out on the platform at about 550 or 600 pounds, you'd be like, why in the world would I ever listen to anything this guy has to say about health? I mean, here's the thing. Dawson, you know I'm right. I mean,
yeah,
I can't be that, because I know this is the path that God has put me on, and I know that I have a higher level of accountability than everybody else. So, guys, thank you for supporting us. I appreciate you guys. And Austin, what's your next story, buddy?
Yeah, and then to add to that, too, you know, and in a lot of cases as well, not all of them, but in a lot of them, when people are having issues, as you just said before, and they're down, you know, they don't have a Prozac deficiency or an SSRI deficiency or a Zoloft or a Paxil deficiency. A lot of times, just simple nutrients, in most cases, can help alleviate a lot of those down symptoms you're feeling, as you just said, with the omega-3 fats, either the cod liver oil or the omega-3 capsules, the B-complex and the 5-HTP. Those are all base nutrients. The 5-HTP helps to increase natural serotonin production. It actually gives the body the natural ingredient it needs, the raw nutrient, to increase serotonin production. The B vitamins, well, they're crucial for every aspect of your health and life and brain and eyesight and heart health, everything. B vitamins are super crucial, and they're water soluble, so you don't carry large amounts of them around over long periods of time if you're not constantly replenishing them in your body. And the omega-3 fats are incredibly good for your cholesterol, for heart health, for brain, for eyesight, for almost every aspect of your body. Again, omega-3s are so important. Remember, I think your brain is what, almost 90% fat, Dad? So, I mean, you gotta think about it this way. We had somebody we talked to the other day, and they were arguing with us about how omega-3 fats, fish oils, clog your arteries. They're bad for you. As they're arguing about how bad they feel and how they want to know what to do, they're telling us how omega-3 fats clog your arteries. That's a lie. That is completely and totally false statement. Good, healthy, clean omega-3 fats do absolutely nothing but benefit your cholesterol, benefit your arterial walls, benefit your heart, benefit your eyes, benefit your brain, benefit your mood. They've done literally thousands, tens of thousands of studies on omega-3 fats, including ones now that they even brought, if I'm not mistaken, it was out of Europe, where they tested them and found that 8 out of 10 cases, omega-3 fats worked as good, if not better, than antidepressant drugs, SSRIs. And this is a clinical drug research that they tested against SSRIs like Prozac or Zoloft against omega-3 fats in the diet. So when you hear these really, really weird arguments and people don't know what they're talking about or they're misinformed and they start telling everybody, don't take omega-3s, don't even eat avocados because it may clog your arteries. If you take fish oil, it's going to clog your arteries. Guys, that is not accurate. I'm just letting you know right now, if you believe that, I'm sorry, you've been misinformed. That's not accurate. So please do a little bit more research, look into it, and realize that the omega-3 fats are unbelievably crucial for the brain, the eyes, the heart, every aspect of your body. And as Dad said too, since I'm kind of rabbit trailing here, if you have somebody that you're following in your church, a pastor, a youth pastor, and his dad said, if they're 150, 200, 300 pounds overweight, you really, really need to question where they are as far as a spiritual leader, because gluttony is a sin. If somebody cannot control their mouth and what they eat and what they put in their body, if they're obsessed and addicted to diet sodas and they know aspartame's a neurotoxin, yet they still drink it and preach from the pulpit like it's okay, or they talk about how it's okay to eat shellfish and pork and it's healthy to eat that. Now, granted, if a pastor eats shellfish or pork, I think Dad and I are the same category. I don't think there's a sin with it. There's nothing wrong with it from a sin standpoint. Is it healthy? No. Is it the best thing to put in your body? Absolutely not. Putting a crustacean, something that swims around the bottom of the ocean and eats fish feces, is not something that's good to put in your body, nor something like hogs or pigs that do the exact same thing on the ground. So be very careful if you see somebody in a spiritual leader and they're in that level level, and they're really living a blatantly overt, unhealthy lifestyle with what they're putting in their body, you really need to question where they lie as far as their spirituality and their walk with God. Because I can't say, and I don't know anybody as far as I can't say where your walk is with God, but if you look like that, if you're eating like that, if your health is that bad, if you're having to be on morphine or a morphine pump because you're having all types of pains and you're having all types of SSRI antidepressants being pushed into your body every day because you're so unhappy and depressed, yet you're still preaching from the pulpit on a daily basis, just my opinion, I would look for a different place to attend a church. That's just my opinion. You guys don't have to follow that, but that's my personal preference, Deb.
Well, also, one thing the lady may have been confused about was that the omega-6 fats are the ones that clog the arteries. If you get excessive omega-6s, that's what gets... So what happened is she probably got confused, and that's why she had read articles on omega-6. The omega-6 is bad. That's like corn oil, safflower oil. You don't want those oils. Those are the ones you need to avoid, not put into your bodies at all. That's the ones that are artery cloggers. But guys, I'm going to let Austin finish the show tonight. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I want to thank you again for supporting us and sending us all the emails that you do. And guys, thank you. Thank you for being there for us, and we're here for you. And God bless you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, guys, we appreciate everything. You need anything, as I say, email us, call us at healthmasters.com. The Purple Sticks, if I'm not mistaken, won, so they're going to be the new product of the week. They're on sale. We're actually doing a massive sale on them because everybody's been just emailing me, calling me, asking me about these things, wanting to buy a whole bunch of them. They're on sale for over 25% off a box. They're on sale, I think, for $26, which is even way cheaper than you even get the three-pack special for. This is a great product for a pre-workout, great product to introduce if you're trying to come off of coffee, really good product if you're trying to come off of sodas and really get healthier. They're infused with lots of different methylated B vitamins, including methylcobalamin B12. Also, too, a couple different Amazon energy root blends like maca, green tea extract. So check it out on the website, healthmasters.com. Really great product. Again, if you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. We're here to try and help out you guys. And please, if you want to call, if you want to send us an email, if you want our advice, we'll give it to you free of charge. That's what we're here for. But please don't call us and expect us to listen to you argue about everything and how you know what's right about everything you're doing. If that's the case, then you don't need to call us. You obviously are doing everything right, and you don't need us. So we appreciate the support. We appreciate all the people that are buying the multiples and all the other supplements from us. We really appreciate everything. It's really helping to fund the radio show and keep everything running as best as possible. And we're going to keep doing this as long as we physically can. And, the alternative media is where it's at, keeping everybody informed, awake, and trying to keep the Patriot movement together, alive, stronger, and growing better than ever. So we appreciate everything. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.